today, I want to actually look at several different passages of Scripture, beginning with Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. If I were going to title this message, unless Kent comes up with a better one, which he does sometimes for the recording, I would call it The Reward of Loving Jesus Now. Not so much the reward now, though there is much reward in loving Jesus now that we enjoy now, but there is great reward in loving Jesus now. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus is speaking a very powerful verse here. Now, it's in the context, of course, of living as followers of Christ, trusting God in every circumstance, knowing that God is faithful, that he's paying attention, and though he has not promised us a fairy tale, he has promised to be faithful to us, to help us in all of our days, in every challenge, in every testing, in every circumstance, in every way, to help. But he speaks this verse 33, that I think reaches even far beyond that in speaking to us about the focus of our existence, the focus of our life. Seek first, he says, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, a lot of people who know Jesus, who are Christians, have taken the approach to life that, well, they got their ticket to heaven, they got their fire insurance, you might say, and they're just going to live their life focused here and now on every day and the mundane and the things of this life just so they can get by. And their intention, their focus, what they are looking for, and the way they make their decisions and the basis of their values is like this is all there is. Though they believe in Christ, they believe in heaven, they believe in eternity, but their lives look like they really are pretty convinced this is all that really matters. This is what matters most. And that is as far as it can be from the truth. You see, what we do in this life has great impact on our eternal existence as Christians, as followers of Christ. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you have to do this or do that or do the other thing to get there. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ only. That's it. It is not by works. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I don't want anyone to get confused in what I'm saying this morning, because what I want to talk about is our investment for eternity, in eternity, not the way we get there. You know, it's easy sometimes to get confused. Kind of like this person I read about said during a recent password audit, it was found that this particular person was using the following password: Mickey, Minnie, Pluto, Huey, Louie, Dewey, Donald, Goofy, Sacramento. When asked why such a long password, she said she was told that it had to be at least 8 characters long and include 1 capital. She misunderstood. And I want to make sure that you don't misunderstand my point this morning. I am not talking about how you get to heaven. There's only one way, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is by grace through faith, and that alone. It is not your works. You don't earn it or achieve it. But once you have been born again, once you have believed on that, once you have received Christ and baptized into his family, baptized into him, the scripture is very clear that your actions, your works, what you do has great importance and great bearing on eternity, on eternal life. Jesus said to the rich young ruler who came to him and asked about eternal life, he wanted to know what he could do to have eternal life, though he was a very religious person. He was doing all the right stuff and doing it very well. He was convinced. But Jesus said to him in Matthew 19:21, he said, if you want to be whole, if you want to be complete, if you want to have shalom, if you want to have peace in your heart and assurance, he said, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now, obviously, in order to have the eternal life that he wanted, Jesus ends the statement, come follow me. That's where eternal life is found. It's in Jesus Christ. It's following him. But he made this statement beforehand. Sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. He is establishing there is a direct correlation between treasure in heaven and actions on earth. It's by grace. It's not that we earn, so to speak, our way in heaven. That's not what I'm talking about at all. Rewards are not earned in heaven. They're only enjoyed. You see, when you get to heaven, it's not going to be time. The Bible doesn't say anything anywhere that I know of about earning or gaining, whatever you want to call it, gathering rewards once you get to heaven by what you do in heaven. All of the teaching in Scripture about rewards have to do with our action in this life following Christ. Now is when loving Jesus as he loves us matters. Is there anybody who would leave this world, miss hell, and go to heaven, and in heaven not love Jesus? Well, obviously. Yes, it is important to love and worship Jesus in heaven, and yes, we will. And by the way, heaven's not going to be one long church service. I know that comes as a relief to some of you, but no, I know you do that. That's not what it is at all. It's a new heaven and a new earth, and it's without end, and it will be in some senses like this, but in perfection and purity and righteousness and goodness. It will be the adventure of a lifetime that never ends. Now, I assure you, we will be worshiping. We will be rejoicing. We will be loving Jesus with all of our being. But who wouldn't then? You see, what we are called to is living in the midst of this resistance that we live in now, living in the midst of temptation and trial or persecution or difficulty in that time, in that place, in that way, loving Jesus. And Jesus makes it real clear in Matthew 25 that if you're going to love him in this life, you're going to love him in this life by loving at least the least of his. That's where reward, that's where treasure is built in heaven. Now let me clarify, the good thing about going to heaven is there's no competition. There's no comparison. Nobody in heaven will be proud because they have more. And nobody in heaven will be sad because they have less. Does that make sense? That's That's reality. But the fact is, in heaven, there will be those with more and those with less, but all with joy. What did Jesus say in the parable of the talents? He gave one 10 talents, he gave another, you know, the master did, gave another 5 talents, gave another 1 talent. You know the story. And Luke uses the term minas. You know those stories. One had 10, he went and invested it, he sowed it, he gave it, he put it to work, and he came back and he said, no, he didn't have, he had, sorry, I'm getting two stories confused. The minas, he just gave each one of them one. In the talents, he gave 1 10, 5, and 1 5, and 1 1. But whatever the case, they used what they had, the first two did, and their reward that they gained was equal to what they sowed, to what they gave, to what they invested. The one had 10 talents, or 5 talents. What was it? 5? I've got them all messed up. 5, 2, and 1. That's what it was on the talents. And then it was 1 minor. But the point is, the one who had 5 talents came back and said, here, it's gained 5 more. He said, rule over 10 cities. Enter into the joy of your Lord. To the other one who had 2 talents. And see, it was the master who decided what ability he gave to each one. And he didn't condemn in the least that the one with 2 didn't gain 5 talents, that he only gained 2 more talents, if I got my numbers right. There was no condemnation at all. It was exactly the same result. Okay, well done, good and faithful servant. You gain 2 more. Enter into the joy of your Lord and rule over 2 cities. You see, he's calling us to have this vision to live following him in his love. What does the Bible say about God in love? For God so loved, he gave. And that's the ones who got the rebuke in those 2 stories was the individual who did nothing with what he had. Mark chapter 9, verse 41. Jesus says, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, for Jesus' sake, in my name, I believe that means for Jesus' sake, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. You see, love without cost isn't much love. I mean, would you really believe God loved you if you never saw him do anything for you? If God only said he loved you and didn't give his son, would you really believe it? But he's paying attention. He's calling us and inviting us to take whatever he has given us. And every one of us has grace. The scripture makes it clear. If you are a believer, if you have been born into the family of God, if you are a Christian, the Bible says you have been given grace. We talked about that when we studied Ephesians. God has empowered you, enabled you with something. Maybe it's 5 talents, maybe it's 2 talents, maybe it's 1 talent, whatever. And of course, talent is a measure of money in the Bible. It's not like we say talent. But whatever it is, God's giving you, has given you, invested in you, his grace. And what you do with that grace has a whole lot of bearing on the reward that you enjoy in heaven. And like I said, it's so sounds like we're talking about works here, but we're not. It's not that God's going to punish you, so to speak, when you get to heaven because you didn't do this or didn't do that. It's not a negative invitation. It's a positive one. So love. Love Jesus by loving, by making the most of every opportunity with whatever ability it is that God has given you. Maybe you're just real good at saying the right thing at the right time that someone needs to hear. Maybe you have what someone needs and you're at the right place at the right time to meet that need. And the list just goes on. It's a limitless list of what you can do. Even if it's just a cup of cold water for Jesus' sake. Not just, no, not just to pat yourself on the back or anything like that, but for Jesus' sake, because of love, God pays attention. He takes note, and it builds treasure in heaven. I know it's almost a struggle to grasp. Well, why would I worry about if I'm going to heaven in heaven's paradise and there's joy unspeakable and full of glory and, you know, and I'm going to be there forever. Why be concerned about it? Why worry about more treasure or less? Well, in the first place, Jesus is worthy. What he did for us, the love he expressed to us, calls us, compels us to love. And then we get the blessing of doing what we want to do, doing what we love to do, because we are so loved, we get the blessing of building treasure, reward in heaven. Paul says it this way. Like I said, I'm kind of skipping around the scripture, which I don't try not to do a lot of. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, Paul kind of comments on this some. Beginning in verse 5, Paul, of course, he's correcting some of the stuff that's going on in the church at Corinth that isn't love-based. But he says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one." You see, even believing comes from the Lord. Even believing is grace. We preach the gospel, but someone trusting Christ, having the faith to repent and believe, to follow him in baptism, that's the grace of God at work. He says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." I mean, could you ask for any better deal for God in his gracious kindness to reach out and prick your heart and convict you and turn you to Christ and give you faith to believe and repentance and bring you into his family and then enable you with a grace, a special gift of gifts of some sort, and then give you the opportunities throughout your life to sow those gifts, to invest those graces in other people, and then, after he gave you all that and did all that, rewards you for it. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? That's what grace is about. Paul says in verse 9, "For we are God's fellow workers." Did you hear that? We are God's fellow workers. All this stuff we're doing, this is Daddy's business. He just brings us into it and promises us, if we'll participate, the reward will be mind-staggering. Because we are fellow workers with God. You see, God could have done all this by himself and on his own, right? What fun would that have been? Especially if you're God. But because he's the God he is, he invites us to participate with him, to enjoy the joy that he and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus enjoy. He says, "You are God's field, you are God's building, according to the grace of God," he says in verse 10, "which was given to me." See, Paul had complete understanding, or clear understanding, that all that he accomplished, and I would say he accomplished a lot since 2,000 years later. Here we are talking about him, reading what he wrote, influenced by it. He understood that all that he accomplished, his whole life, his whole work, his whole service, was by the grace of God. He said, "God gave me this grace, and as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." See, if you haven't got Jesus Christ, your life is meaningless. Your life is purposeless. No matter how good it may be or how much good you may do, there isn't an eternal reward without the foundation of Jesus Christ in your life. But if that foundation is there, the rest of your life is the opportunity to build on it. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, verse 12, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Just getting to love Jesus because he loves me. By loving other people. And I get promised a reward. Like I said, just being there with Jesus for eternity in his paradise or in the new heavens and the new earth will be reward enough. I mean, how could you ask for more? Especially considering the alternative. But he's promised reward, treasure, abundance. He says, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And like I said, there's no competition. There's no comparison. It's not whether we are living up to this person's achievement or that person's achievement. That wasn't what Jesus or the Master asked in either of those parables that I botched the numbers up in so bad. It was Jesus and the individual, each one of them, and the promise of wonderful reward. Faith, which works by love, Paul tells us, is the sort of works that stands the heat. And see, that's what it takes to serve Jesus, to follow him. It does take faith. You have to choose to be willing to take the risk of doing whatever it is he's given you the grace to do. Whatever opportunity he's set before you, whatever person he's brought across your path that you can love in his name, takes an act of faith. But faith works through love. And if you love him, you can love them. And it'll stand the heat in his name, for his sake and his glory, loving Jesus. I heard a man, a preacher by the name of Mike Bickle this week. He's one that I listen to often times while I'm working on my phone. He made a statement. He said, Jesus taught more about rewards than anyone else. More than all the apostles put together. And he said he did that because he knew more about it. He's the one who has it planned and prepared. What did he say when he was leaving the disciples? He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to prepare a place for you. You see, whether you know it or not, every time as a follower of Christ that you have taken that grace that he's given you, whether it's, like I said, the right word at the right time or something kind for someone or whatever it was, whatever action of love you were willing to step out in faith and do in his name builds treasure. you could tell I struggle with that. How does more treasure in heaven, you know? But you can't deny that Jesus made it clear in his teaching that if we take the grace he's given us and use it by faith through love to impact someone else's life, it has an impact in eternity. You say, well, but it's going to cost. Well, could anything it cost you in this 60, 70, 80, 100 years that you live, could anything that it costs us here really matter when it is going to have a bearing on our existence without end? For eternity? Is there any comparison? And yet it is, it does matter so much because like I said, there it's not going to cost you. There's no resistance. There's no difficulty. There people will be easy to love. Here it's not always that way, is it? Somehow, the rewards equal joy. And I can't really develop that, but I know that it's true. And what we do with what we have really matters and has a bearing on what we receive somehow there. Kind of like I read about four men are in a hospital waiting room because their wives are having babies. A nurse goes up to the first guy and says, "Congratulations, you're the father of twins." "That's odd," answers the man. "I work for the Minnesota Twins." A nurse says to the second guy, "Congratulations, you're the father of triplets." "That's weird," answers the second man. "I work for the 3M company." A nurse tells the third man, "Congratulations, you're the father of quadruplets." "That's strange," he answers. "I work for a Four Seasons hotel." The last man's groaning, banging his head against the wall. "What's wrong?" the others ask. "What's the matter?" He said, "I work for 7-Up. Yeah, their work seemed to have a bearing on the results. And it does with us. And like I said, there is no condemnation. Remember, we saw that in Romans 8. There is no condemnation. This is nothing about condemnation. This is encouragement and upbuilding with a view to eternity, to the impact we can have on our eternal existence. Now, if you're saved, if you've accepted Christ, you're born again, you're going there. Your sins are forgiven, just like we talked about the blood earlier in communion. But our actions, our lives, the grace we're given and the grace we sow somehow has to do with more or less there. And I don't think it's more or less, like I said, paradise, because it still is. Any less the adventure and any less the glory of being with Jesus, which would be enough, period. But it does really matter. And that was really what I wanted us to be encouraged on this first day of, as they say, the rest of our lives, this first day of 2023. Somehow or another, it really does have to do with joy. And I close with this verse from Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." He's the one that started it, he's the one that's growing it, and he's the one that's going to complete it, finish it. But he calls us as fellow workers to participate with him. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him." The joy that was set before him. What was that joy? Every single one of us whom he redeems together with him and the Father and Holy Spirit in a new heavens and a new earth for eternity. "Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus endured the cross. He despised the shame, but he did it for the reward, and the reward was the joy. The joy that he would bring us into. and the joy that He, the Father, and the Spirit would have with us as they share their joy with us. Seek first the kingdom of God. Be kingdom-minded. Be eternity-minded as opportunities arise. And God will see that they arise for the grace He's given you.